Hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Today is July 14th, 2008, and today we're talking about Cruise Europe Rivers Travel Advice, and I'm Chris Newton, one of the co-hosts of the Travel Advice Show. And I'd like to introduce my other guest, Jerry Fuller, my other co-host. How you doing, Jerry?
How are you doing? Very good.
Good. Would you like to introduce our guest and our topic today?
I really would. I'm really excited because we're having Ronald Santangelo, who is president of Peter Dahlman Cruises, which is definitely the world's most famous company doing the rivers of Europe. Welcome, Ronald. We want to thank you very much for being here with us.
Hello, Jerry, and hello, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on the show. Thank you.
I'd like to start out, first of all, would you explain to us a little bit about how Peter Dahlman got started and the direction that you're going and what you do exactly at Peter Dahlman Cruises?
Sure, thanks very much. Peter Dahlman Cruises actually got started about 17 years ago. Peter Dahlman was kind of a pioneer, and he was in the river cruise business since 1983. Prior to that, he had been in the ocean business and had, an epiphany. He said to himself, if people enjoy the concept of cruising on an ocean so much, why not translate that to the wonderful rivers that we have in Europe where they can visit places not accessible by the ocean liners? So in 1983, he built a vessel called the Danube Princess, which was quite revolutionary at the time. It was pegged to be a vessel to only offer seven-night cruises or longer. All of the river boats that had been in business prior to that generally offered overnight trips, day trips, but no one was offering a seven-night luxury experience like you would have on an ocean liner. He built his vessel, and it was immediately successful. He put it on the Danube River in Austria and Germany. And the concept really took hold very strongly then, and a lot of other companies began to imitate Peter Dahlman by making their overnight trips longer. It took hold in Europe very, very strongly, but it wasn't until about 1990 that the concept was brought to the United States. There was a company called Uniworld that was doing it already in the United States on a small scale in the late 80s, and Dahlman came around 87 himself to test the waters. By 1990, he had secured the services of Cunard Line to be his general sales agency and introduced the concept in America. And I had been the chief marketing officer at Cunard in those years, and that was where I got to know Peter Dahlman. So the whole concept of river cruising was only born about 1990. And when Cunard agreed to take over the general sales agency representation for Peter Dahlman's riverboats in America in 1991, I held a press conference as the chief marketing officer of Cunard to introduce the concept of river cruising in the United States. And I got the most interesting response. People in the audience, which were all journalists, raised their hand and said, why would anybody be interested in sailing on the rivers of Europe? And and it's quite funny today as we look back, because it's now it's so much of a mainstream product. But in those days, no one could even understand the concept. Wow. So it's not so long ago.
My word. Well, I know it has come a very, very long way, and I know you mentioned that you started on the Danube River around Vienna and that area. Can you tell us what rivers you now do in Europe?
I'm sorry, I can't understand the question. Your words are a little garbled.
Oh, okay. We'll edit that part out. Can you tell us now, originally you started with the Danube River near Vienna and that area, but what rivers now are included in your different itineraries?
Well, the Danube River remains the most popular, mainly because of Vienna and Budapest. An overnight in Vienna and an overnight in Budapest is the real draw of those itineraries that that covered the Danube River. But since then, of course, people that have experienced the Danube have come back looking for more. And so the other rivers of Europe that have become very popular include the Rhine River, for instance. The Rhine was the one that had most of the day trips, even before the Danube. The Danube was selected for the seven-night cruise mainly because of the big draw of Vienna and Budapest. But the Rhine River was the place where it all started, mainly because of the sheer beauty. There's a place called Mainz, which is only 30 minutes from Frankfurt Airport, and a place called Koblenz, which is also maybe 2 hours away from Frankfurt Airport, just to give you an idea of the part of Germany that this river is in. And that is called the Castle Gorge region of the Rhine. It is the most beautiful area in all of the places of Europe for scenic beauty. As you cruise down the river, there are sheer cliffs on each side with castles perched on the top, one after another after another. They are so spectacular and so beautiful that this piece of the Rhine River is where all the day boats used to go. So today, it was a natural extension from the Danube to plan itineraries that began somewhere north or west or south of the Castle Gorge region and made sure it went through the Castle Gorge region during that time. Now, the Rhine River goes all the way from Amsterdam all the way down to Basel, so in Switzerland. So it goes through Germany. It goes through a piece of France because you hit Strasbourg. It goes into Switzerland. There is a river called the Mosel River, which comes into the Rhine River at Koblenz. And it is also a spectacular, beautiful river, very gentle river that goes out towards Luxembourg. So these rivers were natural extensions of the river cruise experience. From there, in Germany, the Elbe River, which connects Prague to Berlin, has become very popular these days, mainly because Prague is one of the most sought-after cities for Americans to visit. And Berlin is the new capital again of Germany, and it's undergone such a transformation in the last 15 years that a lot of people want to see it. Well, the Elbe River happens to connect those two cities and makes for a wonderful journey in a week, very historic cruising. Going a little further west, there are cruises in France. In the south of France, we have the Rhone River. The Rhone River goes all the way out to the Mediterranean, and people can cruise the south of France, and you go through the wine country. You see the Beaujolais and Burgundy wine regions of the south of France. There are all Roman ruins lining this area. So there's natural beauty, there's the vineyards, there's the Roman ruins, just an absolutely rich vacation experience in the south of France. Going towards the Paris area, there is the Seine River. And the Seine River goes all the way out to the Normandy coast. So cruises begin and end in Paris, but they go all the way out to the Normandy coast. Again, beautiful places like Giverny and Honfleur and places along the way that are just spectacular in a seven-day cruise. So there's been quite a bit of growth in the other rivers of Europe that have made the river cruise experience diverse, varied, interesting, and so people, come back time and time again to experience something different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is the average length of cruise that you guys offer, or is it a week or so? Yeah.
Well, Peter Dahlman starts out holding themselves out as a cruise line. Most of our competitors hold themselves out as tour operators.
Oh,
so okay. As a cruise line, we concentrate on 7-night cruises and offer the option to extend up to 2 weeks. You can have a 9-night, an 11-night, a 14-night.
Okay.
Most of the competitors, though, in this business tend to offer cruise tours. They are the 7-night cruise bundled with the land already, and most of those vacations are from 11 to 14 nights.
And is there all ages? Do a lot of children come, or is families, or is this kind of a mixture?
The audience is usually 45 plus. In fact, the average age is probably 55 plus.
Oh, okay.
Very few children.
Okay.
These vessels are not geared for the families, nor are they really geared for young people. There's very little to do.
Okay.
The whole focus is on the itinerary.
Uh-huh.
The comfort of the five-star floating hotel that Dialman, for instance, takes you with. We focus on food, but the entertainment is very modest. And we have a little local entertainment come on board. There's dance music at night, but there's no casinos. There's no teenage center, none of that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Can you tell us what an average cruise, and I know there's really no such thing, but an average cruise would do? Do you have just 4 days, for example, on the river without getting off, like days at sea, or is every day a short excursion?
There are very few days of cruising, only cruising. Usually what happens is the vessels move in the night like an ocean liner would, and you're in port most of the day. Now, there are times where you sail for perhaps a half a day, but there's very seldom a time where you're cruising for the entire day.
And can you tell us, you're talking about what you do on board, but are there other things such as shuffleboard or sun decks or libraries, gyms, anything on this nature?
Yes. All of those amenities are there. There is a library where it's not an extensive library, but there's a library where people can get board games or cards or read a book, look at a reference map. There are open deck areas where people can sit in a chair, and it's almost like being at a movie because you're sitting stationary and watching the land go by. The seascapes when you're at sea are very interesting. Well, the landscapes when you're on a river vessel are even more interesting because you're going from a pasture to a village to a castle. It's almost like a movie unfolding before your eyes. And we have deck service, so people can sit there and have a drink. We serve morning bouillon at 11 o'clock. We have afternoon tea at 4 o'clock. There is a late-night snack at the end of the day. So there are definitely activities to do, but it's not that's not the focal point of the trip. The focal point of the trip is the place that you're going to be visiting. And as I say, we allow people to get there in the most comfortable way. No longer do they have to sit on buses to get to the interior cities of Central Europe.
Do you have any program that they overland a little bit? Let's say, for example, they would get off at one city and drive to the next city and meet the boat?
We have some of that. It's done because the vessels move fairly slowly. They only do about 12 knots. So there are times where we will let off the people, let's say right after breakfast, and they'll meet up with their excursion buses. And instead of the vessel sitting there and waiting for those people, it will travel maybe 50, 70, 80 kilometers, and the bus will come back to a different point in the river. And these people will have experienced everything during the day in the land areas that they're visiting. And they missed very little by not being on board the vessel because the vessel maybe was traversing a part of the river that was a little uninteresting. So we do plan our itineraries to take full advantage of the scenic spots, whether they are along the river or inland a bit.
Also, while there are the short excursions included in the price, or do they have options when they're on the boat? To this tour or that tour?
Again, there's different ways that these things are presented in our industry. Most of the competitors bundle the excursions into the price, the package price, because, as I said to you earlier, they are looking at themselves as tour operators, and so they say, well, the ease of sale, let's put together the cruise, the land elements, and the excursions, and we'll sell it as a cruise tour. Now, Peter Diamond does that as well. We offer those, we offer 17 different cruise tours, but we are among the few that like to also offer the vessel alone without the excursions, and we offer the excursions separately. What we found is that the discriminating people that have been to Europe time and again are not interested in the basic tours that might be included in the packages. For instance, if you've been to Vienna, you're not going to want to see the basic city tour. You might want to go out to Schönbrunn Palace. You may want to go into the countryside. You may want to go into the Viennese woods. You may want to go to a World Heritage site. So it's very difficult to have one flavor for everybody, because once you include the excursions, they tend to be the most basic excursions. So again, that's one of the points of differentiation between the companies that are out there. Some like to package it for convenience, and others, like our company, is more interested in the more discriminating customer who might want something different and might want to be out on their own, as a matter of fact. So we unbundle it as well.
Oh, very good. So they have an option.
Yeah, we have an option. You can buy bundled or unbundled.
Oh, very good. I know the peak season for this would be probably what, May through October for doing the rivers of Europe?
May through September is the peak season. End of March and April and all of October and November are the shoulder seasons, when the rates are maybe 15% cheaper. The airfares are about 30% cheaper, and the places are absolutely as beautiful as they are in the heart of the season. But you do have a little, more cool temperatures to cope with.
Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned some of the more popular tours, cruises. Are there times that they should book many months in advance to get the most popular cruise at the most popular time? And if so, about how much time do you recommend they book ahead of time?
Well, all of the competitors in this area, in this field of selling the rivers of Europe, seem to get their business between 6 and 12 months in advance of the actual cruise experience. So this is not the kind of product you want to wait and buy late. This is the kind of product you need to plan well in advance, because most other people going to Europe are planning well in advance, buying well in advance, and the best availability for the space and also for the air flights, it all, bodes well if you book 6 to 9 months out, and that's where the bulk of the business will come in.
Are any of your cruises designed to go back-to-back? For example, if they wanted to do the Danube and then the Rhine River, can they do that easily back-to-back?
That's a very good question. Again, there are different offerings in the industry. Now, a lot of the companies have found a very successful cruise offering from Amsterdam to Budapest. And you begin on the Rhine River, and it takes 14 nights to do that trip. So what they have basically done is put together 2 7-night cruises and made a seamless trip from Amsterdam down the Rhine River, across the Rhine-Main Canal, onto the Danube, finishing up in Budapest. It is a very, very successful and well-sought-after two-week vacation that has really grew out of the fact that people wanted to put together cruises like you just said. Now, Diamond offers very few of those. A lot of my competitors offer a lot of those. But we also offer on the Rhine River the opportunity to combine voyages almost every 2 weeks. There's different ways of handling this. Some people who are offering product on the Rhine River offer the same cruises over and over and over again. And again, they're in a kind of a tour pattern so that you have your choice of date. If you like this particular cruise, you could pick your choice of date. Diamond does it a little bit differently. We alter the itinerary every week so that we seldom do 2 weeks. In fact, we never do 2 weeks that are the same. Well, that gives you the opportunity to put 2 cruises together very frequently without repetition of ports. We also allow people to combine the Elbe River with the Danube, having an overland connection through Prague on the middle Saturday. So there are many ways of combining these trips so that you have a longer vacation. You can combine two different rivers, sometimes two different vessels, sometimes one vessel for a longer period. There's all kinds of combinations available.
Let me ask this question, because it always intrigues me. Is there, on some of the rivers that you start in one city and end in another, is there a direction that is maybe preferred to go?
The direction is important to this extent. Every river has a current flow, and when you're going with the current, the vessel moves significantly faster than when you're going against the current. So what you're going to find is, if you look and study the itineraries, when you go in one direction, you're cruising less and spend more time in port. And when you're going the other direction, it's just the opposite. Now, we have people that have preferences both ways. Some people prefer to be on the vessel a little bit more and be ashore a little bit less, and other people prefer just the opposite. So I would counsel anyone interested in sailing on the rivers to look at the cruise in each direction so that you you kind of look at the number of hours in port and make up your own mind. Is that enough time in that port? Would you prefer to go the other way perhaps and spend a little bit more time in port?
Is there a difference in the smoothness? I know rivers are not rough, but is, like, going from Acapulco, let's say, to Puerto Rico through the Panama Canal, it always seems to me when I do it, if I go from Puerto Rico to Acapulco, when we hit the Atlantic, it's rougher than if you go from Acapulco to Puerto Rico, in the Pacific, it's rougher, and coming down from Acapulco, it's much smoother. Is that anything to do with the currents in the rivers at all, or is there any noticeable difference?
The rivers of Europe have absolutely no motion whatsoever. You feel nothing in either direction. So even though I'm talking about the current, it's not perceptible to the individual. It's just perceptible to the time it takes to traverse that river. But there's no motion sickness, and there's no feeling of motion on any river vessel of any company.
Hmm. Fabulous way to go. So if you think you're going to be seasick, the river cruise is definitely the way to go, isn't it?
Definitely the way to go. You could still enjoy the benefits of cruising without any of the ill effects of the ocean.
That's great. I get pretty seasick, so I think I would really enjoy the river cruise a lot more.
Yeah. I know. Well, Ron, is there anything else that our listeners should know about Peter Dahlman and your opportunities to experience these fabulous areas of Europe that you do?
Well, there is another thing to I guess advise people, and that is the issue of walking. When we stop these vessels and people are going into these buildings or cities that are 1,000 years old, remember that, you know, walking is not going to be easy. There's many times going to be cobblestone streets. Many times there's going to be places without elevators. So it always pays to ask, because all of the cruise lines that offer cruising on the rivers of Europe are prepared to answer the question of how difficult are the excursions on this particular itinerary? Is there a lot of climbing? Is there a lot of walking? We understand, given the audience that we're dealing with, that this is a main consideration. And so I would counsel anybody to ask those questions, because the information is definitely available.
Excellent.
Yes, great.
Well, Ron, please tell our listeners how they can contact Peter Dahlman and Cruises, and how they can find out more about you.
Well, Peter Dahlman accepts reservations through the travel agents in North America. So we advise everyone, first and foremost, to see a travel agent and ask about Peter Dahlman Cruises. If you wanted to call us directly and order a brochure, you can do so by calling 800-348-8287. We are located in Alexandria, Virginia.
Wow. Well, Ron, we appreciate it very, very much. You've enlightened our listeners very much about the fabulous opportunity and the superlative option of seeing Europe.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a lot of fun chatting with both of you, and we do hope to see some of your listeners on our vessels in the near future.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.